excitement, but then there's also, you know, it was odd to kind of come home and there's only two kids in the house right now. And I mean, McDonald's is cheaper, I guess, when you stop and do things like that. But it's, it's just something that we're working through, and Lord's grace is with us. But happiness and fulfillment for all of us come from being in the center of God's will, right? So when we release our children into God's will, we know we're releasing them into happiness and fulfillment, and so we need to do that, amen. And so that's what we were up to. Anyway, let me know if I need to make a change here, because we got a pretty healthy ring going on. I can turn my... I don't know if I can do anything from here, but... Praise God. But before we get into the Word, let's go ahead and we'll just start off in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking. Lord, we thank you that you've been giving me some things to share this morning. And so I just want to declare dependence on you, Lord. I want to declare that I have a sensitivity to share the things that you put on my heart, but I don't want to speak out of my intellect or out of my mind, Lord. I want to speak out of your Spirit flowing through me. And so I yield in this moment, Lord. But I also declare over everyone in this room, Lord, that they are yielded to hear what you are speaking to them. Not even necessarily what I'm speaking, but what you're speaking to them in this moment. We believe and we receive all these things by faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, for those of us who are parents, have you ever walked into maybe an argument or a situation that's going on in your house between children, and you receive two totally different versions of events as to what has actually happened? And you're trying to reconcile the ones. So you listen to one child, and they say their piece, and then you listen to the other child, and you're like, you weren't even in the same room, right? And, you know, there's different story of events. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, and I, first of all, I want to say we've all done this, right? So those of us who are parents, we've done it as well, too, maybe just a little bit farther back. But sometimes when you're, you know, you're trying to reconcile the different stories that are getting presented to you, and it's clear that each child actually believes what they're saying, right? They're not just making something up. They actually believe that's definitely how it went down, you know? And so then that makes it even more difficult, right? And you're put into the position as a parent of trying to discern what is true, and it's no easy task. And, you know, sometimes depending on the severity of the situation, the stakes are real, the consequences are high. Sometimes you have to figure out who ate all the banana muffins, right? Like, this is serious. Dad wants banana muffins, and there's not enough there. Someone had more than their share of banana muffins. Well, sometimes it's much more serious than that, but... banana muffins go faster in our house, by the way. Get them while they're there, because if you turn your back, they're not around for very long. But I started off with a little bit of a humorous example like that, because we're going to talk today about discerning what is true. And I think that example in some ways mirrors what's happening in our world today. In the last 18 months, we can think of the COVID pandemic with the closures, the lockdowns, the restrictions, the mandates, things like the U.S. election, the global push for vaccines. And there is more than one side of the story. There's more than two sides of the story. These are multifaceted things, all kinds of what some people would present as facts, or some people are, you know, they're just clear, I'm expressing my opinion, but there's facts and opinions, and people are saying all kinds of different things. And then as a citizen of this world, we're sitting there thinking, I have to decide, what am I going to believe? What version of events am I going to believe? What set of facts am I going to believe? What opinions am I going to believe? How am I going to orient myself? And the stakes are much higher than who ate all the banana muffins, aren't they, right? If that was the seriousness of the decision that we had to make in life, I think we would live pretty stress-free lives. But there's much bigger decisions that we have to make. It's interesting, because if you're in Christ as a believer, we belong to another kingdom, don't we? We belong to the kingdom of God. But we still live out our lives in this kingdom. We're part of the kingdom of God. That's our, the Bible's clear, that's our true citizenship. But we still work out our lives. We still live in this kingdom. And Paul talks about that in Galatians 2:20. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, right? He's not talking about a spiritual life. He's saying, this life that I live in my body, in my flesh right now, I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, and that is really the only way as believers that we're able successfully to be part of the kingdom of heaven, but live on this earth and live out our lives on this earth, is living by faith in the Son of God. Amen? We're not able to discover on our own, using our intellect or our wisdom or our experience or our connections or our Googling abilities or whatever, we are not going to be able on our own strength to uncover and discern truth in every situation or truth about every situation. We simply won't be able to do that. We need to rely on our faith in Jesus, and we need to rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. In John 16:13, Jesus, speaking to the disciples, says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Has there ever been a time in your life where you would like to know more what's around the next corner than right now? I'm not sure for me that there ever has been. You know, we want to know what's coming. We want to know what's coming our way, what's coming to our province, what's happening in the next month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. The Holy Spirit is our guide. You know, and this is an awesome privilege, actually, we have as believers, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Isn't that the fact? There's people in this earth that have no relationship with their Heavenly Father. They have no relationship with the Holy Spirit. And they're left guessing and trying to search and seek on their own and sometimes just roll the dice, right? We have the Holy Spirit. He wants us to discover the truth. He's not trying to hide the truth from us. Part of his role, part of his mandate, part of the reason that he moves and flows on this earth is to guide you and I into truth. So we need to be connected to the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad we have the voice of God to guide us into truth. And so the Holy Spirit helps us discern what is our true. And I believe as believers, that is our hope. That is really our only true hope. That is only our only sure thing is the leading of the Holy Spirit and then the principles and the direction and the instruction that we receive from God's Word. And we take the two and we put them together, we reconcile them, and we move forward in the places where we have confirmation as to the Lord's leading and confirmation as to his truth in our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is discerning what is true. We're going to talk about some spiritual principles that will guide us toward truth in the Word and truth in the world. And they're actually the same principles. The same principles apply to the Word, but they also apply to the world as well. And we're going to start by looking at why controversy exists. And this is a principle actually just I learned several years back from Brother Joseph Prince. And I first read this in his book, and it's a powerful teaching. But Brother Joseph Prince teaches that one of the devil's primary strategies is to surround the truth of God's word with controversies. The reason he does this is he wants to prevent God's people from learning, from benefiting from the fullness of God's promises. And so he erects controversies around those truths, kind of like fences, to keep you from moving into that truth and uncovering that truth and benefiting from the blessing that it'll bring in your life. So for example, you know, midway through the last century, when God was restoring the truth of healing, physical healing to your body, that Jesus wants you healed and healthy and whole, the devil put up a signpost that said, "Heresy. This is total heresy." And people believed it. Some people in the church backed off and said, "Oh, that's heresy. That's a dangerous teaching. That can't be for us." That happened in the Bible, but it's not for us right now. So let's back away. Let's not talk about healing in the church. And this is something that as the kingdom, we've been working on and coming against that belief system for decades upon decades. Instead of studying the Word of God to see what Jesus himself says about healing, in many places the church backed off. It didn't matter that Jesus walked in the Word and walked on this earth, and anyone he encountered was healed. The Word tells us that, right? 2/3 of his ministry involved physical healing of the sick, not just spiritual healing. Physical healing of the sick. He went about healing the sick, and all who touched him were healed. Same thing with the truth of prosperity. You know, again, when the Lord started revealing that God wants his people to walk in abundance, that he's not a God of lack, then when Jesus prayed, "Your will on earth as it is in heaven," there's no lack in heaven. There's abundance in heaven. Every need is met in heaven, and it's God's will for every need to be met here on the earth, and not just enough to squeak by, but overflow so the blessing can flow to others. But many in the church, and many still in the church, call it heresy and have backed, oh, that's a dangerous teaching. God wouldn't want that for us. It didn't matter that Jesus himself said he became poor on the cross so that through his poverty we might be prosperous. And the devil's been using controversy to build fences around this truth, whether it's the truth of healing or the truth of prosperity or the truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the truth about grace. Pick your truth. The devil likes to build a fence around it. And you know what's interesting? The more controversy you find around a truth of God, you can realize and get the revelation, the more powerful that truth must be. The more controversies around it, the more forces that the enemy is dedicated to hiding and suppressing and manipulating that truth and creating doubt in people's minds, we know there's something there to get a hold of. There's something we need to receive a revelation on. If it wasn't important, he'd move somewhere else because he's got limited resources. Remember that. The enemy has got limited resources. We're not talking about our Heavenly Father who has unlimited resources. The enemy's got limited resources, so he allocates where he feels most important so he can fulfill his mandate to steal, kill, and destroy. The more controversies you find around a truth of God, the more powerful that truth must be. And this isn't true just for the Word. This is also true for the world. I believe the more powerful a revelation of truth would be in a situation that's happening in the world, the more controversy you're going to find around that situation. You see that? So any place where justice and morality and righteousness would be served by revealing the truth, but in that same situation where evil ambitions would be best served by suppressing the truth or hiding the truth or manipulating the truth, you're going to find an incredible amount of controversy. And controversy is a demonic calling card. It's the hallmark of the works of the enemy, but it's also a powerful sign to you and I that goodness and truth exist in that situation. There is truth waiting to be discovered by people willing to press in, people willing to study the Word of God, apply the principles of God's Word, listen to the wisdom and the leading and the unction of the Holy Spirit, and then discerning and learning the truth of that situation. What happened, or what's going to happen, or what is happening? We're talking about discerning what is true. We'll dial that right down and even connect some dots in just a little bit here. So there's three things that the Lord just kind of, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes putting together a sermon and a sermon outline is a long, drawn-out process, right? You might, find yourself, even, you know, before the week that you're going to preach the next sermon, you're praying about it and just let the Lord speak to you, and I might jot down some notes on my phone, or oftentimes the Lord will put something in my mind and look into this scripture. There's something that I want you to glean from the scripture, and, you know, if you have a voice record on my phone or do all kinds of things. Well, because of our trip, I was doing lots of things this week, so I'm working on my sermon yesterday. Walk into my office, and the Lord just dropped, boom, 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 these three things in my spirit. And I said, okay, well, that's interesting, but now I need to find out, Lord, where are you taking this? Where are you going with this? And the Lord spoke to me that he wants us to talk about discerning what is true. And then the first point that he dropped in my spirit is consider the source. So this is the first principle to discerning what is true in the world around us. We must consider the source. How do we know that that controversy is the hallmark of the devil? Well, the only way to create controversy is to surround the truth with some lies, right? If there's truth and there's only one side of the story being presented, and it's good and it's peaceful and it's obvious as truth, there's no controversy, right? The only reason controversy exists is that when there's a truth and it's surrounded by a bunch of lies, and the aim and the purpose of those lies is to put doubt in people's minds and to create conflict and to create controversy and to cause fighting and a headbutting and a differing of opinions and people arguing and different agendas being put forth. And so this is the hallmark of the enemy, is controversy, and his goal is to spread lies around the truth, to steer people away from what is true. Why do we know that he does this? Well, he's the father of lies. This is what he does. John 8:44 says, this is Jesus, and he's talking to just religious people, and he's hitting them pretty hard here in verse 44. He says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does." Then referring to the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. He's always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. So the devil hates the truth. He hates any kind of truth. You know, have you ever met someone? Hopefully you haven't, but I have actually met a couple people like this in my life. And they just lie without even thinking about it. They actually lie about things that aren't even important. And you learn the truth of a situation, like, why did you even bother lying about that? Like, there was no upside to them telling a lie, and there was no downside to anyone discovering the truth, but it's such a habit, and it's such just a way that they go about life, that they just lie about things that they don't even need to lie about. Well, the enemy's absolutely like that, because he's the father of lies, so he hates the truth in any situation, and because it's consistent with his character, he's going to lie and create lies and spread lies at any possible opportunity, all designed to obstruct the truth. And so when you encounter controversy around a truth, you must ask the Lord, "Lord, reveal to me the truth of this situation." Because you're considering the source, and you know that the enemy, controversy is his hallmark, and so he is trying to hide truth in that area. There is truth waiting to be discovered in that area, and the Holy Spirit wants to help you discover that truth, because truth is consistent with God's character. Amen? Psalm 89:14 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your faith." Truth is one of the foundations of God's character. It's consistent with his character. He only tells the truth, and he always tells the truth, and he's incapable of telling anything but the truth. God's word tells us it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for the enemy to tell the truth. Did you know that? He's not capable of telling the truth. There's no good in him. If there's zero good in him, no good is found in him, how could he possibly tell the truth? God is the source of truth. So when we encounter righteousness, justice, morality, uprightness in our world, then we are revealing truth. The enemy is incapable of creating those things. He can fake it, he can try and trick, but when it's the real deal, we look at the source, our Heavenly Father is behind it. Romans 14:17 tells us the kingdom of heaven is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. And then Psalms 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." So when we're looking for truth, pay attention to, you know, whatever you're being fed, pay attention to what it tastes like. Sometimes, hey, how many of you guys have ever seen that video of the ice cream tester on YouTube? Is there anyone that knows what I'm talking about? Jordan's seen it. Okay. Just do yourself a favor. I don't know how to find this guy, but just put ice cream tester, and I don't even know the brand, but it's a guy, and he's in his 60s or 70s, and he's made a livelihood from tasting ice cream. And he's really developed his taste buds where he can just detect, you know, like some people are wine tasters or whatever, right? He's an ice cream taster. Pretty good job, actually, when you think about it. But he'll sit there. I don't even want to make the silly faces he does. But he, like, moves his tongue around his mouth in various ways, and he just, like, you know, and then 5 or 10 seconds later, he'll tell you about all kinds of things about this ice cream and the flavors and the sub-flavors and the this and the that, and you're like, you know, for me, I just like, good or not good. That's as far as I ever get, right? Like, oh, this cone is so good, you know, and I don't get any further than that, right? I'm not an ice cream tester, but when you're being fed something, pay attention to what you're being fed, because if it tastes good, it is good. Is it righteousness, peace, and joy, or is it something else entirely, right? The works of the enemy taste like confusion and controversy, but the truth of God tastes like righteousness, peace, and joy. Got my water here. The next point I have is test the spirits. Now, these points are related. You know, they're almost, in some ways, they're kind of renaming the same thing, but they bring up different angles and different principles that I believe that we need to know as believers if we're going to be diligent in covering the truth about a situation, if we're going to discern the truth about a situation. The Apostle John says in 1 John 4, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world." So John was teaching the early believers that their spirits, evil spirits at work in the earth, they're antichrist spirits, and they're designed to influence the world away from righteousness, peace, and joy. So when we're considering a situation at hand, when we're considering information that's being presented to us, when we have a difficult decision to make, and we're looking at what's laid out in front of us, we need to discern the spirits that are being that are behind, the spirits that are the motivating forces behind what we're looking at, what we're, the area that we're making the decision in. And we're talking, I'm talking here, but we want to identify with the Holy Spirit's help. We want to identify the negative spiritual forces that are behind. So for example, in no particular order, these are just some that I pulled out of my mind, but a spirit of fear, a spirit of poverty, a spirit of control or manipulation, a spirit of greed. These are all antichrist spirits, and their aim is to create a reality on earth that is different than the reality of heaven. An antichrist spirit is a spirit whose aim is to influence people and create a reality on earth that is opposite of the reality of heaven. It's an antichrist spirit. Okay, so here's where we get a little bit real. I don't do this very often, actually. There's times, usually when I'm preaching, and most of you would know this, the dots are there, but you kind of have to connect them yourselves, right? And a lot of you are good at that. You're like, yeah, and I'm maybe preaching the word, and you're just connecting the dots. But sometimes there's some of us, and it's okay. Some of us are like, huh? What dots? Right, so let's get just a little bit real and talk about this. A spirit of fear has driven many people to gladly accept government restrictions in this world. A spirit of poverty has influenced policy, I believe, that has led to countless business closures and financial hardship for many where it was completely unnecessary. I believe a spirit of greed is involved with a global vaccination program. And a spirit of control desires to limit personal choice and personal freedom, and a spirit of control wants everyone to conform to the worldly view. These are antichrist spirits that are in our world today. And when we have this leading of the Holy Spirit, it's possible to sense the negative spirits behind what we've experienced and observed over the last month. And so we need to rely on the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. Because we don't, what we don't want to do is hear about something like this and then go off and try and sound spiritual and say, oh, that's the spirit of this and that's the spirit of that, and just start saying stuff. There's no value in that. We're not going to bless anyone. We're not going to strengthen anyone. I'm talking about you for yourself, you for the truth that God has wants to reveal to you, the decisions that you need to make for yourself. I'm talking about you getting the wisdom for yourself to reveal for you and your family the decisions that you need to make in the days ahead. You need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and you need God's wisdom to discern the spirits by some of the things that have been asked of you or some of the things that are going to be asked of you. You can even say amen to that. That sounds all serious, but it's true, and this is a good thing. We want the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, right? So let's set up an example. Again, this is going to be a real example. Jesus came to bring freedom on the earth, right? He declared to the entire arc of history in Luke 4 when he said he was anointed so that captives would be released and the oppressed would be set free, right? He stood there in the temple and says, I am anointed to bring freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, for the Lord is a spirit, and wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So let's read that again. Let's think about that. The Lord is a spirit. Wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So wherever God's spirit is, there you encounter freedom. Do you know that freedom is synonymous with God's nature? We live in the age of grace. We live in the covenant of grace. We don't live under the law. Jesus died so that you and I had freedom. But you know that from the very creation of the world, mankind had the freedom to do as they wished. Adam and Eve had a choice to make. They chose to sin. They had freedom from the very beginning. Freedom is synonymous with the nature of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So just like controversy is a hallmark or a fingerprint of the works of the enemy, freedom is a hallmark of the Spirit of the Lord. Freedom is a hallmark of the works of God. Freedom is a hallmark. It's an indicator. It's the calling card. It's the fingerprints. Use whatever metaphor you want. When you're experiencing freedom, that's the Spirit of the Lord at operation, at work in that area. That is something that has taken place that is releasing heaven into earth. Because the enemy has no desire for freedom. He can't create freedom. He's incapable of creating freedom. He's the king of bondage. He's the king of slavery. He's the king of oppression. His desire is to bring the whole earth into oppression and slavery. All right, we're going to pick on Quebec for a little bit because that's who we have to pick on at the moment. This past week, Quebec announced that starting September 1, people vaccinated against COVID will no longer have the freedom to enter some public places like gyms and restaurants. Starting September 1. You might not have known that. I don't know if you knew that or not. So, and this is good we can talk about Quebec and not Manitoba. If you were able to talk to a Quebecer, let's say you were able to talk to a bunch of Quebecers, I personally believe you wouldn't have to talk to very many, and you would find one that would say this. This is for the common good. It's important for us to set aside some personal freedoms and even be willing to discriminate against some people. Excuse me. Be willing to discriminate against some people who choose not to be vaccinated so our healthcare system doesn't get overwhelmed. They would say this. I read it. We need to protect people who can't be vaccinated. After all, it's about loving our neighbor. Right? So they would say something like that. You know, when we hear that, it's possible to sense a spirit of fear and a spirit of control behind something like that. And the restrictions that would say that you can't go there, is that freedom? It's not. The Spirit of the Lord is not behind that. Now, I want to, for those of you who have been with us this whole year, I preach a two-part series, and what was it about? Laying down your rights and freedoms, right? Remember, anyone remember that in May? Because there's a time, this is a bunny trail, it's not even on my notes, but there's a time when the Lord will call us to do that, and the Holy Spirit can call us to do that. But we're not talking about temporary things right here. We're talking about legislation and what is being presented in parts of our world and parts of our country as permanent realities. And that's not freedom. I don't believe that God is behind permanent legislation and permanent restrictions that remove and trample personal rights and freedoms. He's always true to his character and nature. Now, I want to be really clear that we're not talking about and this is strange for me because I don't usually get so nuts and bolts with you guys. I'm not talking about being pro-vaccination or anti-vaccination. We're not going to have that discussion from this pulpit. That's a personal decision that you need to hear from the Holy Spirit on. But what I can tell you is evil is someone telling you, you must do this. So I'm not telling you you should or you shouldn't, but what I'm saying is where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom to choose and to act on what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, he is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. What's happening to Quebecers right now, does that sound synonymous with the nature of God? Is it perfect? Is it just? Is it fair? It's not. We have to be able to use discernment and say, you know, the Spirit behind that, that's not the Spirit of God behind such a thing. And then there's an opportunity for God's people to lift our voices and to contend for righteousness, to contend for peace and joy, to contend for freedom in our nation. We're going to have to do this more and more. It's interesting. Here's another bunny trail. We don't have much time for many bunny trails, but I'm almost done. But for a time, until things change in our nation, July 1, 2022 is going to look different than July 1, 2021. It's going to look different than July 2020 and much different than July 2019. Because we don't live in the same nation that we lived in on July 2019. It's increasingly difficult to sing that national anthem with courage and conviction that you actually believe that the words you're singing are expressing the reality of the country that you live in. Test the spirits behind what's being presented. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. You have a choice to make. And I'm not saying what's right for you is right for me or what's wrong for me is wrong for you. But test the spirits behind the decision you're being asked to make. And let the Holy Spirit guide you accordingly. The last thing we're going to talk about, and again, it's kind of the same thing, just phrasing it a different way. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Matthew 12:33 says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Passion Translation just cuts to the point, which it doesn't always do, and it says, the fruit defines the tree. The fruit defines the tree. So if we're uncertain about the morality of a certain situation, for example, one of the spiritual tests that we can do is we can look at the fruit of that situation. What is the end result of what's taking place? The fruit typically will point you in the right direction so you can identify the source. So John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. So let's talk about something really obvious. Let's just talk about the COVID-19 pandemic in general. It has demonic origins because from the very beginning, the fruit has been theft and death and destruction. And sickness and disease alone are part of the curse of the law, part of the curse of sin. We've been delivered from it. Jesus came to set us free from that curse. But, the pandemic is much greater, as we all know, than just sickness and disease. There have been countless works of the enemy that have piggybacked on it or have been part and parcel to it. It's demonic in origin. That's an obvious thing, right? But some things are much more subtle in their origin, and their true nature, I believe, requires discernment with the help of the Holy Spirit. So what is the fruit of the situation you're considering? When you're faced with a choice, and that choice is A or B, what's the fruit of those choices? What you're being asked to do, is it bring peace to you or unease? I love what Brother Jeremy Pearson, he had some sermons years back. They talk about being led with peace. Man, as a believer, that is a great thing to be always have forefront. Be led with peace. Now, it's important for us to remember that God sometimes will ask us to do something that's require a great amount of courage on our part, right? Don't confuse don't confuse the need for courage with a lack of peace. Does that make sense? Right? For example, when God had the Israelites march around the walls of Jericho, I'm not sure that all of them, who went first around the walls of Jericho? This is a priest, right? With their instruments. I'm not sure that they're all cool with that. Some of them would have probably much rather been behind the army. Let me just take my trumpet. I'll come back here. And you got the spear and the sword and the shield. You out front. I'll be right back here. I'll play my noise when I'm supposed to, you know. So it might not have felt like peace. So sometimes, again, this is why we have to trust the Lord. Because sometimes the things that he's asking us to do require great boldness and great strength and great courage, great faith in his word, great reliance on the leading of the Holy Spirit. But you can do those things and still have peace. You can be in that place needing all those things and still be led by peace. What is the fruit of the situation you're considering? Is it bringing peace or unease? Does it tend toward fear or does it align with faith, does it, here's a big one, does it create unity or is it creating separation and conflict between people? Where there's strife, there's what? Every kind of evil, right? So much of what's happening in the world today, man, like, the conflict behind it, and the people coming together, you know, and we need to look at the fruit of these situations. Look at the fruit. Consider the source. Test the spirit behind it. Look at the fruit. I believe these are spiritual principles that are part of the wisdom of God. Amen? Let's stand. You know, Proverbs 4:5-7 says, get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. It's kind of a funny line, isn't it? Getting wisdom is the wisest thing that you can do. But Solomon says, and whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Church, we are in times where I believe that we need the wisdom of the Lord like never before. Sometimes I wish it was just 1990 all over again. But it's not 1990, it's 2021. It's not 1990 anymore. Must have been a good year, 1990. I don't even remember how old it was in 1990. And we need the Lord's wisdom to navigate these times. We need the Lord's wisdom to make the decisions that are being presented to us. We need the Lord's wisdom to respond with things that are happening in our community, in our workplaces, in our province. We need the wisdom of the Lord. Praise God it's there. Praise God that He promises, if you need wisdom and you ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to supply it to you. I'm going to give you the wisdom you need to navigate that situation. You know, don't ever give in to the discouragement of the enemy that would try and tell you there's just no point in trying to keep your faith. There's no point in just trying to kind of live God's way. There's no way you're going to be able to hold on to your principles. There's no way that you're going to be able to continue to live true to what you know is right in this season. Because He's probably tried to feed that lie to every single one of us. Don't ever give in to the discouragement and the lies of the enemy. There is a way forward for God's people. There is a path for God's people. We may not see it. We may not understand it. But I believe that God is going to protect and carry His people in this season and do it in such a way that we are able to stay true to who we are and true to who He is and give Him the honor and the glory for how He's brought us through, carried us through, continuing to increase the reality of heaven on earth. Not see it decrease, but see it increase as we submit to the Word of God, as we submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit, as we use wisdom to discern what is true. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for your Word today. We thank you, Lord, for the things that we've talked about and how you're speaking. If there's 60 people in this room, Lord, you might be speaking 60 different things to 60 different people about 60 different situations, Lord. But we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here to reveal truth to us. It's your desire to reveal your character and nature to us. And truth is synonymous with who you are. So I declare for everyone here, Lord, who's seeking truth about what to do, decisions to make, how to act, what call to make, what to believe, what not to believe, Lord, we thank you that we are submitted to you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're revealing to us the truth of your word. We thank you you help us consider the source. You help us test the spirits. You help us look at the truth, and then you lead and guide us into that truth. So we are a people that are submitted to you. We come against any attack of the enemy. We say that all his attacks fail, all his attempts to create controversy, to spread lies, to raise doubt, we declare them null and void in this place among us in the name of Jesus. We declare that truth rules and reigns by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here together as your people. We thank you that we can praise you, we can lift our voices, we can encourage each other, we can receive your word. We declare, Lord, that we are continue to be able to do this all through till you come, Lord. We declare that freedom reigns in this place. Freedom reigns in our town. Freedom reigns in our province. And freedom reigns in our nation, Lord. We declare that the words, the true north, strong and free, aren't just words of a song that don't mean anything. We declare that your reign of righteousness spreads across this earth and across this nation. From sea to sea, we declare that we are a nation who is aligned with the priorities of heaven, a nation whose hearts are turning toward God, a nation of people who are seeking righteousness, peace, and joy. We declare it and believe it in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. If there's anything in your life you'd like us to pray with you and believe with you about, come up and receive some prayer. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week.